Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Verse 18, 1 Peter chapter number 1. For as much as you know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by traditions from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. Know what verse number 20 says. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Calvary was not an afterthought to God. Jesus coming to the earth and bleeding and dying was not an afterthought to God. That was ordained before the foundations of the world was ever laid. Amen. But know what the writer says, who was manifested in these last times for you. Now I want you to think about something. Peter said in these last times, back in his day, just imagine how much closer to the coming of God we are now. He refers to those days as the last times, but then he says this as the last times for you. He said that Jesus was manifested or was made known for us. I want to preach on this thought with the help of the Lord for just a little while. Why Jesus came into the world. Why Jesus came into the world. Father, I love you today and I thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Father, you know that I stand here today a needy person, Father. Lord, I'm an absolute zero with the ring knocked off of it without you today. So for a little while, I pray, God, that you'd use us and anoint us, Father. I pray, God, that you clothe us in the cloak of our calling, God, and help us to preach in power and unction and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. Father, I pray, Lord, that your will and way would be done, and we'll give you the praise. If there's anybody here lost, I pray that you'd save them today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Why Jesus came into the world. Now, there's a lot of talk of why he came into the world, but let's look at the Word of God today and see why Jesus was manifested, why Jesus was made real, why Jesus came in the flesh into this world. And can I say this to you today? He did come in the flesh to the world. Amen. And let's look at this. Jesus' manifestation was anticipated prophetically. When we began studying our Bible this morning in Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 15, the Bible says this, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Whenever we begin to study the Word of God out, we know that man and woman, Adam and Eve, has messed up for the first time. And God is judging Satan in Genesis chapter number 3 and verse 15. But in the judgment of Satan, God gives the promise of Jesus that he is to come one day. Can I say this to you? Jesus being manifested to us in coming in the flesh was anticipated prophetically today whenever we study the Word of God. But can I say this to you by way of introduction? It was not only manifested and his anticipated prophetically, but I would say this to you, it was announced typically or in a typology. All throughout the Old Testament, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and him being manifested in the flesh, there was types of that all throughout the Old Testament. Whenever you study the Word of God out, what did they have to do? They had to have a sacrifice to be made up for their sin. You remember John the Baptist as he was baptizing that day on the River Jordan, and he looked up and he saw Jesus coming, and here's what he said: "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." We can look back in typology throughout the Old Testament at that Lamb that was slain, and how God was providing a way of forgiveness from sin, and in typology that was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say this to you? His manifestation was anticipated prophetically. It was announced in typology, but it was authenticated historically. It was authenticated historically. If we want to look at history today, it is proven facts that a man by the name of Jesus came into the world by a virgin by the name of Mary. Yes, we have it in the Word of God, but there is historical documents also that proves that Jesus really was here. Can I read you a verse of Scripture? The Bible said this in 1 John 5:20, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Can I say something to you today? It was authenticated historically. Jesus is not just a figment of our imagination. Jesus is not just some individual that may or may not have came through the world, but Jesus was a real living individual that was manifested for you and for me. Why did He come? Let me show you three or four things and we'll go home. Number one, here's the reason. The writer said, "But was manifested in these last times for you." Why was Jesus manifested? Why did Jesus come into the world? Can I say this? Number one, to display His purity. To display His purity. Listen to what the Bible said. I'm just going to read you some verses. The Bible said this in 1 John 3:5. "And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins. And in Him, is no sin." There was never a sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to manifest His purity to you and to I today, to display that to us. He was the spotless Lamb of God. Listen to what the Bible said in John 1:29. "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Listen to Isaiah chapter number 53. The Bible said this: "But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." Time out. Amen, Brother Isaiah. You hit the nail on the head right there. Every one of us has gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But listen to what the Bible said: "And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Why did Jesus come? He come to display His purity today. He wasn't just any old individual. He wasn't just any run-of-the-mill man. There was a carpenter's son and a carpenter himself. No, here's what He was. He was the spotless Lamb of God. He never sinned the first time. He never messed up the first time. He come to display His purity. He come to you, say, "Well, preacher, do you think Jesus ever got mad?" Sure He got mad. The Bible says, "Be angry and sin not." But he didn't sin after he got mad. When he walked into the temple and they was making a flea market out of the temple, and he turned the tables over, yes, he was angry, but he didn't sin in being angry. Amen. Number one, he came to display his purity. Number two, this morning, I'm moving quickly. He not only come to display his purity, but can I say this to you this morning? He come to destroy Satan's work. To destroy Satan's work. Listen to what the Bible said in 1 John chapter number 3. It says this in 1 John 3:8. He hath committed sin. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. That he might destroy the works of the devil. Why was Jesus manifested? It was to destroy the works of Satan today. I'll say this to you today. You know, a lot of times we'll say, well, the devil made me do this, or the devil made me do that. No, we chose in ourselves to do that because we are more than conquerors through him that saved us. When we got saved, we died to the old man and we was raised a new man in the Lord Jesus Christ. With every temptation that you face and every temptation that I face, according to the word of God, he has made a way of escape for us. How was all of that taken care of? Because the spotless Lamb of God showed his purity, but he also destroyed the work of Satan. He destroyed it that day. He defeated death, hell, and the grave when he died on Calvary. Think of what Satan's work consists of. It consists of sin, suffering, sickness, sorrow, separation. Why did Jesus come? To take care of every bit of that. And can I say this to you? Because he came, because he died, because he rose again, and because 40 days later he ascended back into the heavens, he's not done yet. Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 10 says this, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. Amen. And amen again goes right there. Because of Jesus coming to this earth and bleeding and dying for our sins and resurrecting one third and glorious morning and ascended back into the heavens, there's coming a day that he's going to come back to the earth and he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years, and the devil's going to be cast into hell and we'll not have to worry about him no more. There'll be no more temptation. There'll be no more separation. There'll be no more sorrow. He come to destroy the work of Satan. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm looking forward to that blessed day when we don't have to worry about him no more. He's drug enough off into hell. He's caused enough division. He's caused enough separation. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm glad that there's coming a day that Satan will be destroyed once and for all. That's why he came. Number one, he came to display his purity. Number two, he came to destroy Satan's work. Number three, why did Jesus come? He came to deed us life. He came to deed us life. I've got a envelope back there in my mailbox in the church office that Miss Leslie put in there yesterday, that this evening I'll sit down with Miss Stephanie and give it to her and we'll file it. You know what it is? It's the deed to the new property that we've got back here that was deeded to us. And I say something to you. Jesus came to deed us life. For the wages of sin is death. The payment for it. That's what that word means. It's a payment. the wages for our sin is death. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's what the Word of God says. He said, for the wages of sin is death. But I sure am glad that the Word of God didn't stop right there. For the wages of sin is death. That's right. But thank God for those Holy Ghost conjunctions. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What is the gift of God? The gift of God is this, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Why was Jesus manifested to us? Why did Jesus come to us? Here's the reason that He did. Because all of us was in bad shape. Because all of us was born sinners. And all of us was going to die and go to the devil's hell. Oh, but aren't you glad that Jesus came into this earth today to deed us life? Because of His life, we now have life. Let me say it this way. Because of His death, I can now live. Because of the chastisement of sin that was placed upon Him, I now have comfort through Him. He came so I could live. Amen. Oh, yes, He came to deed us life. 1 John 4:9 says this. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. John 10:10 said, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they might have life, and listen to this, and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. I say this to you today. Jesus came to deed us life. Can I say this to you? Without Him, we'd be headed to hell. Without Him, we'd still be dead in trespassings of sin. Oh, yes, but thank God He came to deed us life. Can I show you one more and we'll go home? He came to display His purity. He came to destroy Satan's work. He came to deed us life. But number four, He came to die for all sin. He came to die for all. A-L-L. L-L-L-L-L-L. All sin. Every one of them. Listen to what the Bible says. Let me give it to you. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness. But is long suffering to usward. Amen. Goes right there. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What did He say in Romans 10:13? For a whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a movement that's been around for years. It's called Calvinist. And they believe that there's only an elect few that can be saved. Only an elect few that can be saved. And it don't matter what you do, if you're elected to be saved, you're going to be saved and you're going to go to heaven. No matter what you do, no matter if you ever ask Jesus into your heart, there's only that few. And if you're not part of the elect, then it don't matter what you do, you'll never be saved. You say, preacher, what do you say to that? Hogwash. That's what I say to that. Hog manure wash. That's crazy. That's so far from the Word of God. Anybody that believes that is crippled too high for crutches. They don't understand the Word of God. How much more clear can you get than this? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's long-suffering to us, that not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus came to die for all men, for all sins. You say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. It don't matter. It don't matter. He came to die for all sins. You say, well, what about this? Listen to me. All. You ever have a conversation with somebody, like maybe your kids or your spouse, and you have to say, look me in my eyes. I'm telling you, Brother Brian, you ever had have a conversation? I'm telling you what is right. Look me in my eyes. I'm telling you what is right. All sins can be placed under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, what about that and that's living a different lifestyle than what the Word of God says live? Listen to me. All sins can be put under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we come in true repentance, and when they come in true repentance, there is a turning from their lifestyle. You don't continue. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Matter of fact, it was brought up in our Sunday school class. Prior to salvation, things it was done this morning. And since salvation, how those things had not been done. Let me tell you the reason why. We become new in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, what if I've backslid? You can. Matter of fact, Peter says that we can come to a place where we have forgotten that we was purged from our sins. We can come to that place. I thought about, come start playing softly. I'll give you this illustration and we'll go home. That's 5 till. I didn't build no comp time today, did I? Come back tonight. I'm just speaking. I thought about this. Last Sunday, I bought this watch. 11, 12, 13 years ago. And one of the reasons that I bought it is because it was an Echo Drive. And, but Jim, it's supposed to be solar powered. The sun's supposed to keep it running. And I try to always leave it sitting out. I don't never store it in a dark place because it has to have light to run. Last Sunday morning, I got to where we was going. And I sold a gun to buy that. One of the dumbest decisions I ever made. But anyway, I sold a gun to buy a watch. And never put no food on my table. But anyway, looks good when it's on my wrist. I got to church and I walked upstairs. I always wear a watch. And I walked upstairs and I looked at my watch, Brother Brian, and it said 8 o'clock. And I thought, when I left about 7:30, I don't think that's right. I was driving Leslie's van and it don't run that fast. And I got to looking and the ticker on it wasn't ticking. You say, what'd you do? I called Rodney. You say, why'd you call Rodney? I don't know, but I called Rodney. And I was like, because he's like me, he likes watches. And I was like, man, my watch quit. He said, what do you mean your watch quit? I said, my watch quit. I'm talking about we can be saved and come to a point in our life. We're still saved, but we come to a point in our life where the devil will bring doubt into our mind. I ain't got none of this in the outline, but anyway. You say, what'd you do? I wore it all day. I did, just like, I mean, I wasn't going to not wear it. I looked down at it 2 or 3 times, and I didn't preach none while I was there. My clock never moved. Monday morning, I got up, and Leslie said, what you going to do this morning? I said, I'm going to the pawn shop. She said, why are you going to the pawn shop? I said, I'm going to see Terry, see if he can figure out what's wrong with my watch. So I went to Ace's pawn shop, walked in there, told Terry, I said, man, something's wrong with my watch. He said, well, preacher, what's wrong with it? I said, I don't know. I said, it won't run. He said, well, let's look at it. He took the back off of it and took a piece out of the inside that gives it power to make it do what it does. He said, it's not putting out the voltage that it's supposed to. He said, it's still putting out a little bit. I said, but Terry, nothing will work. You can't set time. You can't. He said, well, it's all electronic. And he said, it's got to have the power that it needs to even be able to set the time or anything. And I said, all right. He said, well, just leave it with me. I said, 3 Hail Marys and cried a little bit. And I'm just picking. I didn't want to leave my watch, man. I wear it all the time, especially church. I left it. I think it was Thursday. Rodney texted me. He said, hey, Terry said your watch is ready to pick up. I said, okay. I went back over Friday and I walked in. I said, hey, Terry, you got my watch? He said, yeah. He said, it's working just fine. He handed it to me. He said, see there? He said, it's all set. He said, the calendar just knows. If it's a leap year, it sets it automatic. I don't know. It's way beyond me. That's the reason I took it to Terry. And I said, what'd you have to do to it? Here's what he said. He said, I've got an intense light. And he said, I just laid it underneath that intense light and left it laying there for 2 days. And it got the light that it needed and started running again. He said, that's all I had to do. He said, you see, sometimes you just need extra light. You see, there's times now that you're saved and you know the blood of Christ, Christ died for all your sins, that you get to a place and you wonder, am I really saved? Here's what's happening. You're not getting the light that you need. And you've stopped running the way that you're supposed to run. So what do we have to do? We have to plunge ourselves back into the light of God's Word. Amen. He come to die for all of our sins. And if forgiveness has been given to us, it's eternal. So, preacher, I'm just not running like I once was. Let me tell you what you need to do this morning. You need to get back underneath the light. You know, it's done ever since I picked it up. It's run just fine. Look at that. What time does it say? 11 o'clock. No. She said, yeah, I like her. I like her boyfriend, too. Let me tell you the reason why it's been underneath the light. He come to give us life. To not just give us life. There was still a little bit of life still in there. It had just quit running. He come that we may have life more abundantly. That's the reason he came today. He came that we didn't walk through this life alone. That we don't walk through life with our head down wondering about this and one. We put our trust in him. He come to deliver us from our sin and to forgive us from all sins. And now we live our life pleasing to him underneath his light and allowing him to shine through us. Father.